We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
I think he's close to 100 yards, over 100 yards rushing. He's able to convert third downs, you know, on scramble or get outside the pocket and convert plays. He's got good featured receivers and how to use him and the tight ends. And so I'm not surprised that this is a guy who's really smart, very athletic, can get outside and create plays. So he certainly has a fearless mentality.
That's Dan Quinn talking about Case Keenum. Kind of sounded like he was talking about Tom Brady, right? My God, Dan Quinn really singing the praises of Case Keenum. But you know what? DQ has seen Keenum on tape. And Case Keenum's been one of the best quarterbacks in the NFC. I know it sounds crazy. Like, what are you talking about? This guy's a backup. Remember he had the terrible concussion with his head landing on the field there in Baltimore. Forget about all that stuff, man. Case Keenum right now is one of the main reasons why the Vikings are 9-2. And we are Rick and John on the home of the Falcons, home of the Hawks as well. And we're at the Hawks' new practice facility, Emory Sports Medicine Center, North Druid Hills and 85. It is right here, kind of tucked back here in the Executive Park. I know, it's kind of swanky. Actually, it's really swanky, and it's spectacular. And we appreciate Coach Bud joining us at 10:20. Check out that interview on iTunes or 929thegame.com. Grant Hill, one of the executives with the Hawks and co-owners, will be joining us at 1 o'clock here, live from the Falcons practice facility. But, John, yesterday, as we're cooking up thoughts for today's show, you had a thought about these Falcons.
Yeah, I wanted to ask people at 404-741-0929. You could text that. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line as well. Do you feel this winning streak is fool's gold? You beat a Dallas team that was banged up. You beat a Seattle team that is banged up. You beat and now why am I losing? You beat Seattle. Who did we just beat this week?
Tampa.
Yeah, totally. But you beat a Tampa team without their quarterback as well. I know, and I've judged by some of the calls, well, you only beat this team. Well, you only beat that team. And my answer to that is no, it's not fool's gold, because what I've seen out of this Falcons team, really four of the last 5 weeks, and even the Carolina game, there were signs that you were playing some really good football. What I saw out of the team at that point is more like what I saw last year. Defense causing turnovers, offense making big plays, offense sustaining drives, succeeding on third down. So for that, I say no, this is not fool's gold, Rick.
Well, the teams we've been playing have been shorthanded. Have we had Devontae Freeman for 2 weeks?
We missed him for, you know, basically two, yeah, because he got hurt the very beginning of the game.
When did he get hurt against Dallas?
What was it, the second play of the game?
Okay, so this three-game winning streak is without Devontae Freeman, right?
Basically.
That's reason number one that it's not fool's gold. Also, John, this is the NFL, right?
That it is.
These are all professionals, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're beating professional teams. And Dallas, to be honest, Dallas is really stinky right now. Without, of course, Zeke Elliott, Tyron Smith is back, their left tackle. But that didn't really matter. I saw San Diego getting to the quarterback. God, there I go again. Los Angeles getting to the quarterback on
that one's acceptable. That one is very acceptable.
And then John, you know, you have Sean Lee out for Dallas, and that's huge. They had a graphic on Thanksgiving Day. The Dallas defense is giving up twice as many points per game without Sean Lee.
Right.
So forget about yards. Twice as many points per game given up without Sean Lee. That's huge. It's arguably a bigger loss for Dallas than Zeke Elliott. I know that sounds crazy, but it is. But John, you've got these teams, and obviously Tampa Bay without Jameis Winston, but the way Jameis is playing this year, was that really a downgrade to Ryan Fitzpatrick? They're kind of the same guy with what they're going this year. Now, Jameis Winston, I've sung his praises. I've got high hopes for this guy. I haven't given up on him. But the way he's playing right now, is there really much difference between him and Ryan Fitzpatrick?
No. Jameis Winston's had a very disappointing year. I said all along, Jameis Winston was a guy I thought by year three would be in the upper echelon of quarterbacks. He's still a middle-of-the-road quarterback in the NFL. Has some great moments. And then he has a lot of moments you go, what is wrong with this guy, with Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson and Doug Martin and O.J. Howard and all these guys? They're a team that has a coaching problem. I think they're a team that has a little bit of a secondary problem, maybe a little bit of an effort problem. Again, that's their issue. Falcons took care of what they were supposed to. And again, it reminds me more of last year. Now, they're not playing as well as they did when they played Seattle in the playoffs or Green Bay in the playoffs or for the first three and a half quarters against New England. you got to get to that point. But what the Falcons have done from Chicago until now, and they had that lull with injuries when the team really struggled, but what they've done from that point is they're incrementally playing better football. And I really believe this week against Minnesota, you're going to see an A effort. I think Thursday night against New Orleans, knowing how important that is, you're going to see an A effort. And I like the fact that what Atlanta's doing. I don't care about who else is in front of you. This isn't college. There's no poll. There's nothing like that. All there is to this is simply win games, get enough on that W ledger, and get to the playoffs. I'm distracted, by the way. Paul's over here with, like, pieces of meat, and he's just shoving them in his mouth right now.
Really?
He's just got naked meat, and he's going to it. You got a mouthful of meat. You don't need to talk.
It's lunch meat. What's the problem?
Just distracted me.
You know, you're putting it in your mouth, and that distracted John. But, of course, that's what you do with food.
Well, I mean, he's got the 40-ounce can of Mountain Dew over here and the Reese's Cup. That's his lunch.
This is 16 fluid ounces, and it's the old school. I mean, it looks like I should have like a Schlitz.
It looks like a 40. You need that in a brown bag.
Yeah, I should have a Schlitz instead of a Mountain Dew.
Hilarious. So we're asking the question right now, live from the Hawks practice facility. Grant Hill coming up with us in about an hour. Is the Falcons' three-game winning streak fool's gold? I say no. John says no. Let me give you a little further explanation as to why while you call. Mark Owens back in our Kia studios, 404-741-0929. We want the Rise Up Nation to get involved in this conversation. And if you are a hater and you want to call up and, you know, poo-poo on – you know, the strength of competition during this three-game winning streak, you can certainly call up, and John and I will bat your take out of the air like Dikembe Mutombo won a Geico ad. But, John, this is not college football where style points matter and where you have a committee ascertaining why and how you got to win. And, oh, you beat this team without their quarter. They had their third-string quarterback, or they were missing three linebackers. That doesn't happen in the NFL. You win the game, you get a notch in the win column, and you move on to the next week. So, it's not. And how many times could you do this? You think the Pittsburgh Steelers or the New England Patriots at 9-2 in the AFC, just as an example, might have played some teams along the way to going 9-2 that were missing players?
You know who the Patriots just played and blew out? They blew out the Dolphins. Unfortunately, we didn't. They were playing better football when they played against us. Pittsburgh plays in the division with who? The Bengals and the Browns and everybody else. Hate to tell everybody,
the Pittsburgh just beat Green Bay without Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. So are we throwing? Are we throwing shade on that win?
No, and I hate to tell everybody, we're in a division that right now is the best division in all of football. We have three teams currently that would be in the NFC playoffs with New Orleans, Atlanta, and Carolina. You've got to go through that the rest of the year. When we got to the stretch of Dallas, Seattle, Tampa, Minnesota, how many people said, season's over, we're done, not going to beat Dallas? Okay, again, they dealt with the Zeke Elliott suspension. That's their own fault. You and I gave the advice at the beginning of the year, take the six off the bat and have Zeke Elliott play when games mattered. They wanted to fight and scratch and claw, and they ultimately ended up losing, and now they don't have Zeke Elliott for the stretch run. Not my fault. It's not my fault that Dak Prescott for the last 3 weeks without Tyron Smith suddenly looks like a pretty average quarterback when his team can't run the ball and he doesn't have an elite left tackle to block for him.
And Dak Prescott, worst game as a pro on Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
No question about it. He was not good. And the L.A. defense deserves a lot of credit. That's probably the best defense nobody's talking about. With Bosa and Ingram on the edges, you've got Hayward and a bunch of good guys on the back end of that defense. And by the way, the L.A. Chargers might just go ahead and win the AFC West. They're 5-6 right now. Oakland is 5-6. And, of course, Kansas City is 6-5. And I'm about to bench Kareem Hunt. Are you guys there?
I don't have Kareem Hunt. So
if you had him, would you bench him?
No.
He's been awful for a month.
I get that. There's just certain guys.
How about Alex Collins of Baltimore?
He's okay.
He got in again last night.
Yeah, he's okay.
I think he's a little better than okay. He's a quick, shifty back, and Baltimore loves him. Anyway, we want to take your calls here. 404-741-0929. Is the Falcons' three-game winning streak fool's gold? Me and John do not think it is, and we, of course, lead up to the Falcons and Vikings. You're going to hear the game here on Sports Radio 92.9, the game Sunday at 1 o'clock. I'm a little surprised, John, that game was not flexed to the America, you know, Game of the Week on Fox and that 425 window. I haven't looked at the slate of games. It's too early in the week, but I can't imagine
New Orleans, Carolina got moved to that one. I think it got moved to the 425.
I don't know. I get it. A battle for first place, but to me, Falcons and Vikings is a really sexy game. Probably more sexy, John, because it's an interconference battle, sure. You know, teams out of division. I don't know, but I see their point. Carolina and New Orleans is
it's
true
for first
blue
place
battle
in the
for
division.
First place.
Yeah, it's first place in the division. And you know, again, I get it. I get it. I understand why they moved that. For me personally, I wish it was flex. Just gives me more time to get back from Charlotte and get some sleep.
There you go. John's going to be at Charlotte Saturday night for the ACC championship game. And then 1 o'clock he'll be in the Dome with Wes and Dave and the Falcons Radio Network. Mm-hmm. How are you going to manage the logistics there?
Game will end about 11:30. Probably be back in the car by 12. I'll get home 3:34 in the morning.
Damn. With family.
Yeah.
They're all sleeping in the car.
Yeah, get in the car and go to sleep.
Man, that's getting it done.
Hopefully I'm Red Bull and adrenaline powered. I mean, I'm going to be adrenaline powered one way or the other. Either we're now going to the Orange Bowl, which is probably where Miami ends up if they lose, and I'm going to be angry and I'm going to be not texting, I'll be on the phone arguing with people, or we're going to the college football playoff if everything happens the way that it's supposed to, and I'm going to be revved up. So either way, I'll zip down 85, no problem.
All right, let's zip to the phone lines here, John. We're asking the question. We talk Falcons noon every day on the Midday Show with Rick and John. Is the Falcons' three-game winning streak fool's gold? MO back in the Kia studios. Let's pull up Jeremy. Jeremy, you're in the game with your boys, Rick and John. What do you say?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Definitely not fool's gold. This offense is converting more third downs than anybody in the league. We're in the top five in sacks. And I've watched this team come alive. I said, let's rise up and get to the Super Bowl.
I love that he talked third downs too,
yeah.
John.
Third downs have been huge the last 2 weeks. 11 for 14 against Tampa. That's how you score 34. They went 9 of 15, including 6 of their first 8 against Seattle. That's how you score 34. You keep the chains moving. You know what you did against Seattle as well? You were able to go out against Seattle and hold the ball for 11 minutes in the fourth quarter. You know what you did against Tampa? When you needed a drive up 7, you had two of them. One of them ends in a fumble inside the 10-yard line. The other one you go shove in the end zone. You weren't getting those. Think about it. Buffalo, Miami, Carolina, all three games you had the ball in the fourth quarter with 2 minutes or less to go with a chance to go win the football game, and you couldn't get it done. You didn't execute. You got penalties, holdings, whatever. You don't have those issues now.
7-4, our Falcons, one game behind Carolina in New Orleans in the rugged and best division in football, the NFC South. Let's go to Austin. Austin, you're in the game with Rick and John. We are live at Emory Sports Medicine Center practice facility for the Hawks. Is the Falcons' three-game winning streak fool's gold?
Definitely not. I feel like, you know, Sark, he's getting more comfortable, and he's able to call a little bit more, like, non-conservative plays, and the offensive line looks like it's been improving over these past couple of games, and I'm really excited. But go Canes. I'll see y'all.
Love it. We need to win on both Saturday and Sunday.
We got to go Canes for you,
yeah.
There, John.
I have realized I'm sort of the ambassador around town for the U.
There's no doubt about it.
The fact that I stuck through the Al Golden years, I think people know I'm real in these streets. I think that's what the kids are saying these days.
No doubt about it, man. I think he kept it a little bit too real with Malik Rozier. But that's a topic for our 11 o'clock college football hour.
It is. It is. Even Arch chimed in on the John and Rick text
line. He's wrong, too.
the guy who covers the ACC more than we do.
Yeah, he's wrong, too. I watched every game he did. Now, that guy knows more about football than me, but I'm not, we can agree to disagree on the Malik Rozier player of the year in the ACC thing, but I'm sticking to my guns on that one.
Let me ask you this, and this is just completely out of left field. Falcons, just say the Falcons lose 21-17 to the Vikings. Does it change your opinion about what we're talking about today?
No, because, John, it doesn't change my trust and my belief. The Vikings are a kick-ass team, dude. They're 9-2. Their defense is uber dominant.
Right.
They've got a passing game that is look, Keenum is just doing what he's supposed to do. He's not doing anything special. He's just staying in his lane, running the offense, moving here, moving there, moving up in the pocket. He's not a scrambler. He's not like Ben Roethlisberger or Aaron Rodgers where, oh, my God, he's out of the pocket. He's going to throw a 50-yard bomb and we're screwed. He's not that guy, but he's just playing really effective football. If we lose to Minnesota, John, you lose to a 9-2 team. Now, if you get blown, that's a different conversation. But Minnesota's not coming down here and blowing out the Falcons, okay? They may come down here and beat us. They ain't going to blow us out. I can tell you that right now. And do you like the us against them thing I just did right
Absolutely.
There?
Absolutely.
Pronouns?
I've noticed where you're going with that. Now, I'm buying what you're selling.
It is the Rick Kamla Bowl. I will give you that. because this is the team I grew up watching, the Vikings, and obviously the team that I now covet, the Atlanta Falcons. And the fandom for this team, I've told you guys, is I have more fandom for the Atlanta Falcons right now than I've had for any team in my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And the only possible exception is the Minnesota Twins back when they had Kirby Puckett and Ken Herbick and all that, and they were winning a couple of rings. Sorry, Braves fans.
That's pretty cool to get them up.
No,
they're
right,
level.
Dude. Look, this and especially John at a jaded, cynical 48, where really all I care about is my fantasy teams.
we noticed that as well.
The Falcons are that one team that gets me screaming at the TV and pumping my fist and saying "bleep you, Carol" and all that kind of stuff.
Kind of surprised you're not going to this one this weekend.
Going to games is overrated. It just is. I'm not that big of a fan. I miss so much football. I'm in the car.
Oh, you're talking about the whole day, the aspect of missing.
Yeah. If the Falcons were playing the Vikings from 1-4 and it was the only game going on in the NFL at that time, I'm going to the game.
So, like, if that's the NFC title game.
Correct.
Okay.
And then I would go. But I'm missing, like, 7 or 8 other games. I got to watch Preacher Man's Titans drive me friggin' nuts with Mariota throwing all these damn interceptions.
You know, and this is going to come off as controversial for me. I'm just not that interested in the other games. I'm really not. And part of it, I'm working. So, the other games are, all right, did they win or lose? I've lost some of the desire to sit down for every second of every NFL game. College, I don't want to miss games. Like, I got my boy Cutler Ridge Laz, who lives down in Florida, has got a huge tailgate up in Charlotte. They'll have TV set up because I've got to be locked and loaded watching Georgia and Auburn on Saturday before the ACC title game. We take a break. We come back. NFL Bounce coming up next, brought to you by Cobb County Kia on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
And the NFL Bounce is brought to you by Cobb County Kia. Stop by and test drive their new 2017 Kia Sorento. Rick Hamlet, John Michaels on the home of the Hawks, home of the Falcons, home of Atlanta United. And we're here at the Hawks practice facility, Emory Sports Medicine Center. It is awesome. I got a great tour this morning from Garen, the head of PR, interviewed Coach Bud. We got Grant Hill coming up at 1 o'clock, executive and co-owner of the Hawks, and my buddy and colleague over there at NBA TV. All right, John, I'm going to bury the lead here because the lead is Crabtree and Tlaib and all that, and we'll get into it. I got to troll you real quick.
Uh-oh.
Martellus Bennett has been cut by the – actually, he hasn't been cut. He's been placed on injured reserve by the Patriots after 2 games. Man, I told you, that dude is dunner than done. He's a Thanksgiving Day turkey that was put in by your wife or your grandma overnight. She got too drunk. She slept through. She forgot about it. And the thing is now, it was like one of those 20-pound birds, real big, mm-hmm. and now it's just like a teeny little hockey puck on the top shelf of the stove. That's how done Martellus Bennett is.
Well, he's done now. He did try to play, and I think he was almost forced to go on injured reserve. It was one of those that, dude, you're hurt.
Like, he's done.
Hey, we're not going to play these games
he's
with you anymore.
He's fat and slow.
I told you, I would have tried. What would it have hurt? We would have had him here for 2 games. We would have cut him. No big deal. Or let him go to injured reserve, either way. You're right. I was wrong. He did play for 2 games, though, so I guess we were both kind of right.
I don't know about that. But let's we definitely disagree on the length of suspension for Crabtree and Tlaib and the fight that they got into on Sunday. And how about Chuck Smith telling us yesterday? By the way, Chuck, love you, and we love having him on 120 every Monday. I was surprised by his – I said, did you like the fight? He said, no. He said it was whack. Mm-hmm. What did he call Aqib Tlaib, a fake tough guy? I think he might have used stronger terminology than that.
Yeah, he did. That's exactly what he said. He said it was a fake tough guy. He said it was a horrible fight, everything like that. I just don't get it. Aqib Tlaib wants to snatch people's chains. What are you in the club and you're 18 and you're trying to get somebody's, you know, 10-karat gold golden cross? You know what happens when you snatch somebody's chain in the street? You're liable to get shot.
Or Debo, and you just accept it because he's bigger than you.
Well,
and can
eventually
kick your butt.
Debo got his ass kicked too, though.
He did, but it was because it was a movie. There's no way Craig actually beats up Debo real life.
Hey, you got to hit that first punch, and then you hit him with a trash can. It goes down.
I'm just saying. It's like the skinny, nerdy nothing getting the hot chick in a movie. Come on, it's a movie. That's how this stuff happens.
Here's the thing, Rick. A guy that size, you better take the first punch because you know Debo's going to come and wear you out anyway. So take that first punch and stick and move. Bam! And then get the heck out of there. He might be mad at you later on, but, you know, whatever. You live to fight another day.
Like, that's what his dad said.
That's what he said.
You live to fight another day. And it's a good thing Craig didn't bring the gun that night. Otherwise, there wouldn't have been Friday 2, 3, 4 and all
and I
those.
Think they're making a new one. Didn't Chris Tucker say they were making another one?
I think he was on the fence about it. He said, Chris Tucker said, everybody keeps screaming at him to come back and make another Friday. And he told us that he was leaning towards doing it.
Yeah, they got to do it with the original cast. Let me see Nia Long running up and down the streets again. I can go with that. Although, how's Nia Long looked? I haven't seen Nia in a long time. Eric gave me the thumbs up. So, yeah, okay. All right. Fine wine.
But anyway, look, I think that a two-game suspension is a super overreaction by the NFL to this. Look, I would have been okay if they didn't suspend him at all. You got Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Green not suspended for their fracas. You got Mike Evans suspended one game for coming across the field to blast Marshawn Lattimore. And these guys get two? Come on, there's no consistency. There's no precedent. It's just Roger Goodell once again making it up as he goes along and, oh, this was such a terrible look for the NFL. No, it wasn't. It was Broncos Raiders. This is the stuff of rivalries. John, the next time the Broncos play the Raiders, what are they going to show in the opening montage?
Oh, the first thing they're showing is this.
The fight!
Yeah.
Come on, man.
You know what? I have no problem with two games, partly because it's such a bad look for the NFL. But with what you're saying, Mike Evans should have been suspended two games. That was blatant. It was a cheap shot. It was dirty. It was all that stuff. I don't care about his stupid apology afterwards. Jalen Ramsey should have never been suspended at all, but A.J. Green should have got to it. The first choke slam's a game to me. The fact that you go back for the second one and debo him for a second time should have been suspended too. What I think Roger Goodell sets up here is I suspend him for two, they appeal, it gets down to one, and it should have been one maybe in a lot of people's eyes to begin with.
Oh, God, another appeal. So, okay, you're saying
this one won't go to court,
though. I mean, it's amazing. So, our bottom line, I say I'm okay with one game. I would have been okay with no games. I'm definitely not okay with two games. Where are you at with that?
I think they should have got two games.
So, but because you're saying appeal it back to one. So are you more okay with one or more okay with two?
No, I'm okay with two. I'm more okay with two. I just see the process playing out where they're going to end up appealing it back to one. That's it.
All right, so elsewhere in our NFL bounce, let's talk about Aaron Rodgers, John, because Sunday night he's throwing deep balls, warming up before the game. And they said he's out for the year. He looked pretty good. He didn't look real hurt. He didn't look real collarbone broken to me throwing those balls. And Hundley actually had a good game Sunday night at Pittsburgh. But, you know, and it's 5-6 now. You wonder if the season's going to maybe start to slip away from Green Bay. Do you think right now as we sit here, whatever the heck date it is, November 28th?
8th, yeah, sounds about right.
Do you think that Aaron Rodgers will play again this year?
No. No, and partly because Green Bay is probably out of the playoffs. If Green Bay's in the playoffs, Aaron Rodgers is going to play because there was talk that he might even do some practicing this week. Now, it's going to be most likely of the non-contact variety, which is pretty much all their practices anyway. They're a couple of games back, and they don't have a tiebreaker over us. It would be a fight for them to get back in, and I don't know if Aaron Rodgers comes back for that.
So here's the latest report that you were talking about here. Rodgers won't practice on Friday because they don't practice on Fridays. They practice on Saturdays. There's probably some stupid Green Bay, Wisconsin logic going on there. What in the hell is that all about? But Friday's the first day he's eligible to take the field since he was placed on injured reserve. But he may be able to practice on Saturday.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, the door seems open. Who does Green Bay have this week? If it's a winnable game and they can get to 6-6, they have the Buccaneers this week. If they get to 6-6 with Hundley, Rodgers, he probably need a couple of weeks to practice, don't you think? Or maybe just
not
to
if
get
it's Aaron Rodgers. You just got to know if he's healthy or not.
I think Aaron Rodgers comes back and plays this year.
I don't think he does. You know
what just diverted John's attention?
Yeah, I saw the U in the TV.
They got a promo on ESPN for Clemson in Miami, 8:00 on ABC.
Yeah. I just don't think he's going to come back. Did you see the rumor about Sam Darnold?
Yes.
Where Sam Darnold said, hey, I'm not going to enter the draft. Well, apparently he said, I didn't say anything about the Browns. I've never said anything about an NFL team. They know I would never say anything. So apparently he's denying that he would avoid the draft to avoid to be the Cleveland Browns quarterback.
But as we know, as quasi-sports detectives, that where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah.
And so maybe he did leak. Maybe this is a leak right here, telling the Browns, don't take me or you're going to have another Eli Manning scenario on your hands. And by the way, why in the heck would the Browns take, I get it, Darnold's better than Deshaun Kizer, but you just spent a second round pick on Deshaun Kizer, who's going to be a developmental guy, who is showing signs, He's got Corey Coleman back. Josh Gordon comes back this week. I'm just saying, if I'm the Browns, they got a million holes to fill on that team. I'm probably not taking a quarterback in the first round.
But they played quarterback roulette this year. Had it been Kaiser the whole year and they never pulled him out. All right, they went to, what's the guy they went to?
Hogan.
Yeah, Chris Hogan.
Yeah, Hogan.
You need a quarterback. They're already figuring right now Deshaun Kaiser's probably not the guy.
I think it's too early to tell.
I mean, I agree, but this is also, remember, they're going to do the money ball strategy. They're just going to keep plugging a guy in that position until they find the right one.
I mean, Darnold, Jackson, Rosen, Rudolph, all these guys would be an upgrade over Deshaun Kaiser. Mm-hmm. They would. I'm just saying, you've already got that investment. You've got a year invested in this guy. We'll see what bottom line is, John, you know what the Browns are going to do?
What's that?
They're going to screw it up.
You think they'll screw it up and take somebody
they're
other?
They're going to screw it up. They always screw it up. They're the Browns, for crying out loud. And this is another decision, John, that is just the Niners and Kyle Shanahan, why are you dragging your feet?
Yeah, put Jimmy Garoppolo in.
Jimmy Garoppolo was called, like, okay, so Beathard gets banged up. Garoppolo is sitting there the entire game. Mm-hmm. They say, hey, Jimmy, grab your helmet. Come on in here. 2 for 2, 18 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah, put him
right
in.
Right off the bench. This is a no-brainer. This is an absolute no-brainer. And if Kyle Shanahan starts Beathard, who, by the way, is very banged up, so it may the point.
Yeah,
may
I say the decision may be made for you
with the injury. But come on, man, you made a big deal to get Garoppolo. You got 5 or 6 games left to audition him for next year. Go ahead and get him in there.
Yeah, I agree. You said early you didn't want to rush him, so you didn't do it 2 or 3 weeks ago. Well, he should know the offense by now. He's not a fifth grader that was handed an NFL playbook and said, go learn this. He's a pro who's been playing under Bill Belichick for years. By now, you know the offense. What else do you have to lose? Please don't give me that we're not competitive and we don't want him to get hurt. You don't need him out there in bubble wrap. Put his butt out there and let him play. C.J. Beathard is at best a backup quarterback in this league.
And he's not Ben Simmons, okay, who Philadelphia shelled up. You know why they didn't bring him back at the end of the year? So he could win Rookie of the Year this year.
And they were also tanking to try to get another pick. They got Markelle Fultz, which didn't work out so well.
Not yet. And some more silly quarterback news. I just read this headline. Bruce Arians, gangster head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. I may have to strip the gangster tag from him. He has said that Blaine Gabbert could be the Arizona Cardinals quarterback next year. It's ridiculous. Blaine Gabbert threw 3 touchdowns 2 weeks ago. In an L, I believe. And this week, threw a couple of touchdowns, made some plays in a win over the Jaguars because of bad game management by Doug Marrone and a stupid interception by Blake Bortles. How is he even talking about 2018 with Blaine Gabbert? You've got to be kidding.
Trying to keep his guy confident. That guy's not going to be their quarterback next year. They're going to draft it. Arizona has to draft a quarterback. Because at worst, or at best, Blaine Gabbert's your backup quarterback for the next couple of years. You draft a guy. He's doing that to keep the kid confident and let him keep playing. I don't think twice. Now, if he does that in August, if they have, I don't know, I'm trying to think somebody that's drafted. They have Lamar Jackson and Blaine Gabbert. And they go, well, Blaine Gabbert's my starter all year. Well, then you start to question him.
I mean, the proof's in the pudding, right? If they don't take a quarterback in the first round, then maybe they think Blaine Gabbert's the guy. He's still a young quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't been in the league all that long. But
He's still a bad quarterback, too.
Over the last 2 weeks, he's been just north of trash.
Okay. All right, from the Bible's coming up next, Preacher Man, not trash. Eric, we got to turn up the Preacher Man so he can talk. Tell us what's coming up next.
All right, so apparently Matt Harvey is dating an Instagram model, and we have Georgia Tech on Georgia Tech Crime.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
That's coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
The Rick and John Show is back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, home of the Hawks, and we're at their new practice facility, Emory Sports Medicine Center, North Druid Hills Drive, or Road, whatever the hell it is, North Druid Hills and 85, and we are excited. Unfortunately, we're not going to have Grant Hill, but there's been an unbelievable replacement. His name is John Collins, mm-hmm. and he's our boy. John Collins, we've interviewed him before. We talked to him earlier this morning in the locker room. Just a sensational human being and a terrific young player. So we got John Collins in about 20 minutes.
We will, but right now we got the Preacher Man with From the Bible, and we got some good stuff here.
Actually, we don't, because I let Knox plug it in my laptop to charge his phone. and his phone basically took over my computer.
Ah.
So now my computer won't do
anything.
So
now it's got filth, flour, and filth all over it. You've got Instagram pictures everywhere.
Everything's like seized up now. So thanks for that, Knox. I appreciate that.
Wow. Is he back on the list?
Oh, he's on the list now. Did he screw up the whole segment.
Did he ever leave the list?
Yeah, no. He did leave the list.
He did when he got us at lunch that one day. What'd you get me? The macaroni and cheese stuff? Oh, that was fantastic.
Oh, out at Flowery Branch?
No. He went downstairs to the food truck and hooked it up.
Oh, I wasn't a part of that whole mission.
You don't ever eat during the show.
Yeah,
that's why.
The show. That was
good
problem.
Point. Good point.
All right, so we're going to the phone.
All right.
The phone actually works. So, like I said.
Why don't just unplug his phone and throw it off to the side?
I unplugged it, but it's frozen. All right, so Matt Harvey has been getting close with Instagram model Christina Krishka.
Spell it, please.
Which part?
The last part.
It's K-R-I-S-H-K-A. She is Polish.
Krishka. You had me at Polish. No comment?
Huh? According to Page Six, there hasn't been any evidence that these two are together, but on social media, Krishka was a cocktail waitress in the Hamptons this summer.
I bet she was.
And sources tell us Harvey was singing, hanging with her. Harvey has dated, obviously, numerous models in the past and has had high-profile relationships.
Again,
so just interesting.
Here's the thing. You're Matt Harvey. Shoot your shot. What do you have to lose? You're single. You were a really good pitcher for the Mets. You've got buku money. Hey, Krishka. Yeah, I mean, you know what? A lot of these cocktail waitresses, they're not bad looking. Not bad looking at all. She's one of them.
I
think Matt Harvey could do better.
Oh, my God. I'm literally, like, struggling to give her a 7. Look it up right now.
So that means she's
Rick is struggling.
Christina Krishka. K-R-I-S-T-I-N-A, and then K-R-I-S-H-K-A. I'm telling you right now, that is avarage. Not curvy, not that good looking. Matt Harvey can do way better. He should go somewhere and urinate about it.
Wow.
Wow, the dark night.
The All dark right. night. Holding on to that pee.
All right, moving on.
He had to have a surgical procedure to fix his bladder.
This video has surfaced. I know it's floated out there. I know Mark Owens tweeted about this earlier today. But Georgia Tech football players straight up knocked out his teammate during a fight in the Georgia Tech athletic facility. Now, this was before spring practice began, and it was between Step Durham and Lance Austin. Now, John and I both watched the video earlier today, and boy just got cold cock, John. He was out. Cole.
Was it a cheap shot?
No. Was it Lance? Step Durham walks up, shirtless, running his mouth, what you want to do, blah, blah, blah. Lance Austin walks up, shirtless, what do you want to do? Step Durham steps back and hits him with a right hook and drops him. And then, you know what? In brotherly love, as a teammate, he walks over and because Austin is out cold. I mean, he falls straight back.
He's worried he killed him.
He's kind of underneath the chair. Step Durham goes to pick him up like, dude, are you okay? How's everything going? Like, and you could just see Austin kind of rolling his eyes. But apparently this happened back spring practice.
Yeah.
So they've obviously made up. They had a good year in the secondary. But this is what happens in locker rooms. You know, people say, oh, this shouldn't happen. You're talking about sometimes 85 scholarship athletes that are, you know, just – testosterone and competition and trash talk, and unfortunately there's going to be at times that people fight. It's just an ugly video out there, though.
Guys, I didn't think nerds fought.
Wow.
I thought nerds fought with their mouths and their brains and not with their fists. Too soon?
Too soon.
Okay. I thought it was right on time.
The World Series bonus checks are in.
Mm-hmm.
Houston Astros coming up big. So here's how it works. Each team in MLB playoffs gets a bonus check based on how far they advance. The bonus money is pooled from gate receipts from the playoffs game. The big winner, Houston Astros, with each player getting $438,000, $901.57.
Now, do you realize that is going to match or be more than a lot of the salaries
Absolutely.
On that team?
Yeah, because you got guys, especially the guys that are new to the majors, the younger players that aren't making big. That is a giant bonus check.
Yeah, according to MLB, it's the largest bonus check ever paid out. The previous record was held by the 2014 San Francisco Giants, and they received $392,000 each.
Winning. What can you say, man?
Bonus checks are awesome.
They really are.
They are. Maybe in January.
They make the world go round.
Yeah. Don't feel pay off well, bills and I weddings mean,
and
stuff.
You can't really
like
feel too bad for the Dodgers. However, they're only taking home 259 versus the 438.
They all would have slid that 259K over to get the World
Absolutely.
Series ring.
No doubt.
Every single one of them.
I can tell you right now, Yasiel Puig has already spent that money.
Yeah, that was like the tires on one of his cars.
Yeah, that didn't come to the cost of his Lamborghini.
Yeah, it's just the tires. That's it. If he'd go to Kauffman Tire after a Falcons game, he'd save $120 potentially on a set of four new tires.
That's a great call, John. But actually what Puig did, he went to Girl Collection. He went to Floyd's Joint in Vegas. $259, gone.
That's like 40 minutes for him in Girls Collection.
Good time, man.
All right, so this has come out. Florida State kicker Ricky Aguayo.
Ricky Aguayo, little brother. He actually makes kicks still.
Well, apparently.
Until he gets to the league.
That's true.
Apparently back in 2016, he was attacked by several Florida State frat guys after he missed some field goals. He got a beat down by the fraternity of Pi Kappa Phi around 3 a.m. on December 12, 2016. A teammate found him walking down the street. Aguayo told cops several members of Pi Kappa Phi had been heckling him and abusing him about missing the field goals. And then he said he was rushed by several members of the fraternity and they jumped him, according to a police report.
Here's the thing. Florida State won the game in question 31-13 against Florida. He missed two field goals. One of them a 49-yarder. The other one was blocked. You're a real tough guy in a fraternity at Florida State if you jump the kicker. How about try that on the defensive tackle so one of them takes your head and runs it through a wall? You want to know why I hate going to that place every time we have to go down there? It's idiots like those kids that run around and think they're better than everybody because they're on a fraternity. Fraternity Row at Tallahassee is a bunch of jerks. Is exactly what it is. You know, that's you're a kid. You want to go there. That's what you get. You win 31-13, you get jumped by a bunch of idiot frat guys.
Well, that fraternity has since been shuttered.
Well, they should be.
So what do you mean?
They closed it down.
Because of that incident?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Because I was a frat boy at the University of Minnesota.
Oh,
shout
we know,
out to
we've heard.
Sigma Nu Nation.
Yeah, but you guys never went and jumped, you know, Rob Chickenzinski when he missed this jumper or something
John,
like that.
John, all we cared about
drinking
was getting
and women.
Yeah.
Was
Leave
getting lucky.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
That's all we cared about. There were a couple of nerds in our frat that cared about grades. I was not one of those guys.
Those are the guys, the only reason you had a frat open.
Yeah, because they kept the GPA up.
That's right.
You know, I care. I will say this. I was always salty about the brand of beer we had for our keg party. It was old style and just garbage. And I'm like, could we get Bud Light? My God, like, let's upgrade
the extra,
Bud Light.
Yeah, the extra dollar a 24-pack couldn't really tip
Come
the
on.
Ledge, dude.
I mean, let's go Miller Lite, Bud Light. I mean, could we upgrade here? Nah, old style and a bunch of stuff that hangs you over mercilessly. Anyway.
I wouldn't have been mad if Buccaneers fans wanted to go after Roberto Aguayo. But how are you going to jump the kicker? What kind of clown show is that?
It's a total clown show. It's ridiculous.
They didn't jump Chris Ricks when he lost to everybody.
What else you got, Preacher Man? From the Bible.
Looking at the clock, it's research material time. We're going to go with Amber Jasmine today.
Amber Jasmine.
Yep.
Does that name sound hot or what?
And then Brandy Burr. That's B-U-R-R.
Amber Jasmine.
Burr. Now, is that Brandy with an I?
Of course.
Of course it is.
And is it Jasmine with an S or a Z?
It's an S.
I've got one bonus research material.
Oh, really?
My buddy Chris Scott sent me a text and said, Aisha Diaz, A-Y-I-S-H-A. Diaz.
We've got underboob.
Like the Diaz brothers. This is the Diaz sister. If you mess with her, I'll kill them cockroaches. We come back. It's not, nope, Knox got bumped. It's not Grant Hill. It's John Collins going to join us next. Our boy from Wake Forest, Hawks first round pick here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Weekday mornings on The Game.
Hey, what's up? It's John Michaels for my boys at Buffalo Wild Wings. Don't forget our Thursday night football watch party returns. This week, it's 8:30 to 10:30. It'll be at the Cumberland Mall location. It'll be Washington and Dallas. So get your guys in the huddle for a guys' night out. Bring your ladies as well. It's a family-friendly environment here at Buffalo Wild Wings. Get some of the garlic parmesan wings that I'll get. Also, slather them up with some blue cheese as well. But come on out. We'll have wings. We'll have beer. We'll have some prize giveaways, and we've got Washington and Dallas. Again, it's our Thursday night football watch party, 8:30 to 10:30, Cumberland Mall location. We'll be there with Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Don't forget, Buffalo Wild Wings, beer, sports.
All right, we come to you live from Emory Sports Medicine Center, North Druid Hills and 85. This is the new practice facility for our Atlanta Hawks, and it is gorgeous. It is brand new. Brand new. It looks like a spa in here. They've got, like, saunas and massage tables, and I thought I saw some potpourri and, like, some essential oils in one of the rooms. It's crazy. It's next level. It's state-of-the-art. It's our Hawks first-class franchise and obviously a first-class practice facility here, John. This is a blast, man. Garen, their PR guy, the main PR guy for the Hawks, took us on a tour earlier this morning, and we are expecting John Collins, power forward for our Hawks, coming up here pretty soon. But this place is great, man. Shout out to the Hawks for setting up their players with all this.
I'm just trying to see, can we get a studio right here to do, like, I don't know, like 3 days a week, 2 days a week right here? Can we do that? Knox Bardeen, the power forward of our digital team right now, he's with us. We normally bicker with him Tuesday at 1 o'clock. And when John Collins comes in, he will give you the Heisman Trophy.
You will get bumped.
He'll give you the Heisman stiff arm.
I'm starting the segment. The rookie can come in and replace me, but I'm walking out onto the court, and I'm waving, I'm shaking hands. I'll step off when he's ready.
Okay.
But I'm starting the segment.
So you know how Knox rolls, right? Uh-huh. Two quick fouls, goes to the bench, and the coach doesn't go back to him.
So he's Joel Anthony all of a sudden?
That's what I'm saying.
Except without the shot-blocking prowess. You're more like Rick Mahorn. You're going to draw some charges and play some good team defense. That's all you're going to do. I want to ask you this, Knox, and I've been going back and forth with all these guys. Let's just say, and this is just for me, argument's sake, Georgia wins, Miami wins, Oklahoma wins, Ohio State wins. Does Ohio State get in the playoffs over a one-loss Alabama?
At that point, that's the toughest question. That's probably what the CFP is hoping doesn't happen, right? Mm-hmm. It depends. If you buy that they really do give credit for that Florida State win back in week one, then you let Alabama win. And if you don't buy into that, if they don't get credit for that win, it has to be Ohio State.
Even with two losses, even with a 30-point blowout loss to Iowa.
If the decision were mine, I'd put Alabama in. If they're that close, one loss over two loss, I'll take them every time. But I think this committee really would like to see, and we'll see it tonight with the rankings, would like to see Ohio State in this thing.
Do you think Miami's in with a win over Clemson, no matter what?
I think whichever team wins the ACC is in, whichever team wins the SEC is in. After that, we'll have to talk about the two.
And if Oklahoma wins, they're obviously in as well.
Yeah, there could be total chaos elsewhere, though.
Let me go back to that Alabama-Ohio State thing. Who has the bigger name brand in college football?
Alabama.
Are you sure about that?
No, but that was my gut answer.
What do you think, John? Who has the bigger brand name in college
Alabama.
Football?
You've won, what, four of the last seven national championships?
And you have more total national champions?
And you have Nick Saban.
We will find out. I don't disagree with you guys, but I just want it because that's what – if that scenario plays out, John, like you said, that the committee is going to be choosing between name brands. Last year, the name brand won out, and Ohio State made it over Penn State. Here you would have two name brand teams that have a blemish or two blemishes. You can take shots at their resume. You can pump up their resume looking at it a different way. I just think it's going to be fascinating to see. If it comes down to Ohio State or Alabama, I think they will go with Alabama because it's a one-loss team. I agree with you guys. I think the Alabama brand is a little stronger right now. But, again, last year we saw Ohio State get red carpeted to the college football playoff when they shouldn't have.
But Nick Saban will kind of get that treatment, won't he? Alabama will kind of get that treatment, won't he? I think the red carpet's probably a little wider for this Alabama team. And let's face it, if you want to talk about good losses too, well, Ohio State has a terrible loss. An absolute terrible loss, and Alabama doesn't.
That's where I think, and I'm one of the only people, and maybe it's just I'm so skeptical of the college football playoffs when it comes to my team, and we blew it against Pittsburgh. I think Miami's bad loss to Pittsburgh, even if you beat Clemson, they're going to look and go, is this really one of the four best teams in college football?
Knox, tell him he's crazy.
You are crazy. I think if Miami wins that game, they're going to try to figure out how to figure Clemson into this whole equation.
Nah.
I don't think Clemson's done completely with a loss, especially if we're going to continue talking about Ohio State.
Well, if it in a chaos scenario, if TCU wins, Ohio State wins, then Clemson has an argument.
Not as a two-loss ACC runner-up.
Five wins over top 40 teams.
No, this is a death game. This is a death game, the ACC championship game. Miami with two L's, see ya.
Oh, yeah, they're out.
Clemson
going
with two L's, see ya. I totally disagree. I don't think Clemson has any shot with an L.
Which one's more of a death game, ACC or SEC championship?
Are both equal
death games?
I think Clemson has a better chance to get – because if Auburn loses, they're definitely out with three
losses,
and Georgia's out with two losses to the same team.
Because of the way they have
I think Clemson does have a you know, and I've got my fingers really close. They have a hair chance to get in, and that would be, again, TCU beats Oklahoma.
Stanford beats USC.
See, yes. I think USC is, to me, and we argued about this, I think USC's
but
done.
But let's get them out of the equation.
But,
anyway.
Yeah, if Stanford wins, they're completely done.
But so you're saying that – I just want to go down this road for a minute. And I don't disagree with you, John. If Clemson loses, they still have maybe a 1% chance if craziness happens. Do you agree with me that if super craziness happens, USC beats Stanford in the Pac-12 championship game, they would then be 11-2 and a conference champion? All I'm saying, I'm not saying you. I looked closer at their resume last night. Their best win is Stanford. Mm-hmm. Okay, they've got some bad losses. Their resume's not that great, but they would be a Pac-12 champ with two losses and an 11-2 record.
I would take a two-loss Clemson team over a USC team that just won the championship.
So you think a two-loss Clemson ACC runner-up has a better chance in a chaotic scenario to make the playoff than a Pac-12 champion
absolutely
with two losses?
And I don't even think twice about it.
I can't go down that road with you.
Because you just mentioned the schedule for USC, the best win is Stanford. Clemson has 9 wins over bowl teams. 9. It's a lot.
5 over top 40.
Right,
games,
and if you lose an ACC title game, 17-14 to Miami, is that really hurting you?
So what does the conference championship even mean?
Last year it means nothing.
So I guess I just need to just back up. I'm literally backing up in our broadcast position here at the Hawks practice facility. Like, conference championship should matter
absolutely
more than it does.
Absolutely should matter.
Okay? So, and that's why I say that. And I understand you guys saying you're kind of giving me your opinion and you're kind of reading what the committee will do in terms of shutting out USC as a two-loss Pac-12 champ. Let me ask you this.
Who
is more deserving? A team that won their conference championship game or a team that lost their conference championship
game? Alabama deserves it more than Ohio State, than USC.
So let me ask you this. And there's a team we're not even factoring in here. If you're bringing USC into the equation, and we know what their bad losses have been, what do you do with TCU? TCU's losses this year were to Iowa State 14-7, same team that Oklahoma lost to, by the way, and they lost to Oklahoma. If they turn around and beat Oklahoma in the Big 12 title game, and here's how I wrote down the chaos scenario. Just say, this is to be chaos. Miami wins, Auburn wins. Okay, so those two we're going to argue are in, even though I still think Miami would be on this side fighting. And then for argument's sake, TCU wins, Ohio State wins, Clemson obviously with the loss, Bama not playing, and USC wins. Who are the two teams out of that 5 that gets in?
And let me jump on your TCU bandwagon for a second. The Big 12 was arguably top to bottom a better conference all year
absolutely
long. Absolutely. Maybe than all of them. Might have been the best conference in football this year.
I don't know.
You make a strong argument there for TCU.
But here's the thing. TCU's best win is at Okie State, who lost 3 games. And
but if they beat Oklahoma,
really
if they beat Oklahoma, that's going to be their best win. And Oklahoma's a better win than Stanford. That's where I looked at. Who would be in out of those 5 in that scenario?
Oh, gosh.
Bama. I'm saying Bama and Ohio State then get in.
Not mad at
no,
you.
I'm not, I'm taking TCU before Ohio State.
Really?
Okay. All right, Knox, we love you. You are officially bumped.
You have now been shoved to the side. We'll take the college football conversation out of the way.
And we'll He's getting dap from John Collins, though. I like it.
John Collins did do, like, a Showtime at the Apollo. He said, move on out of the way. And I've aged myself because I'm not even sure. John, do you even know what Showtime?
They're hyping it, man. I ain't do all that.
No. Did you ever watch Showtime at the Apollo, or is that way before your time?
Man, I'm 20, man.
Yeah, it's way before your time. Again, I showed my age.
Shut down.
Come on, man.
Shut down.
I'm 20. I just turned 20 a couple months ago. I don't know. I know what it is. Never seen it.
What is the John Collins, power forward with our Hawks, and we'll talk basketball with him. What is the oldest music that you like?
Oldest music that I like? It's probably some jazz. I just like old school jazz.
Give me some artists.
There's one. Miles Davis is probably my favorite.
Oh yeah.
So that'd be probably my go-to. I don't dive into too much. I try to, you know, stay in my lane, but some old school Miles.
Nice.
Miles Davis is you know, when I'm trying to just super relax.
I got an album for you. Herbie Hancock, Headhunters.
Okay.
Check that out. Herbie Hancock, Headhunters. It's the birth of acid jazz.
Okay.
I'm a big jazz fan. So Herbie Hancock, it was made a million years ago. You're either going to like it or love it. It's funky. It's psychedelic.
Wow.
You're either going to love it or hate it. Pardon me. But anyway, yeah, Headhunters by Herbie Hancock. So how's the starting gig feeling for you, man? Last 3 games, you've started against Blake Griffin, Kristaps Porzingis, Serge Ibaka. How's that been?
It's been, you know, probably the craziest time of my life so far. Obviously, being thrust into a starting spot, 20 years old, straight fresh out of college, is a lot thrown at you. You know, I watched all those. You know, Chris, I was a little bit, you know, younger, but had a chance to watch Serge and Blake and try to model my game after theirs, and then to go up against them in person is kind of crazy. So, you know, like I said, it's a lot being thrown at me, and you know, it's part of my job to address it and move forward, try to get better. You know, still a young guy.
Guarding those three guys, I mean, it's a real difference. Blake Griffin can be a power guy in the post, also has a nice jump shot. Kristaps Porzingis is close to Dirk Nowitzki, is you're probably going to find. And then Serge Ibaka, a guy who used to be a shot blocker and now has kind of gone out and guarded the three and all that. What's it like guarding those guys? How do you get motivated, and how do you, you know, kind of study film to get ready for three different guys on three different nights?
Yeah, it's kind of cool that you say that, because, you know, Blake and Serge have kind of, you know, been guys that have been paint-oriented and kind of work their way out. So it's kind of cool to see them progress. And then Kristaps, like you said, speaks for itself. So, you know, when you're going against guys like that, obviously it takes a lot of film. I've been watching Serge and Blake, so I kind of know what they like a little bit. And then Kristaps can kind of, you know, do a lot with a 7'3 frame. So just a matter of trying to make everything tough for them. It's part of my learning curve. It's, you know, I get so animated and so angry somebody scores on me, and coaches, guys like, yo, listen, you're in the NBA now. It's going to happen. You just make sure you make it tough. No easy buckets. And that's kind of been the biggest thing for me, just lock in and make sure nothing they get is easy, because, you know, those guys are the best in the world.
Ballers.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah, you just got to roll with it. And that's probably been one of the biggest things when I'm guarding guys like that.
I mean, it's crazy wisdom from a 20-year-old dude. John Collins with Rick and John here at the Hawks practice facility, Emory Sports Medicine Center. And I know we're asking you a lot about these particular games, but I'm just curious, from an X's and O's, you being in the film room with Coach Bud and all the other assistants, what did you learn from this three-game stretch? Like, give me some nitty-gritty basketball stuff that you learned from going against these terrific players.
I don't know if it's necessarily nitty-gritty, but I kind of touched on this in the podcast, Road Tripping. Shouts out to Bays and Muskie. They got a little podcast going.
Well, what's the podcast called?
Road Tripping.
Okay.
Yeah, with those two guys I was on. I had a little cameo. But the biggest thing for me is probably the mental focus that goes into every single possession. You know, in college and high school, you can kind of just roll with it. You're better than a lot of guys. But here, especially with that starting job, the intensity and focus you got to have from that opening tip is it's crazy just to think about and just to kind of adjust to on a nightly basis. Every minute you're out there, you know, especially as the game goes on, and when you get into that fourth quarter, how the intensity just turns up is something new. So I can only imagine what a playoff atmosphere feels like. And that's probably been the biggest thing for me, just, you know, starting those three games instead of coming off the bench.
This new facility is obviously tremendous. Where did you play pickup ball when you were growing up?
Everywhere, man. It was usually, you know, the recs, the YMCAs, and then I was big and still big on, you know, don't tell Travis or Coach, but, you know, I like to just show up at you know, any like regular outside court pickup and just kind of run.
Now, were you ever at Gun Club Park down at West Palm?
Of course, I've been to Gun Club a couple of times. Had to wait till I was a little older because, you know, some real hoopers out there. But
and it gets rough. That's
sure.
A hard, lot of concrete
to
play
on. Yeah. So I was definitely over at Gun Club, and I'm just, like I said, I just like to pull up random spots and just hoop. You know, it's kind of fun to me. Just that's really where the love comes from.
So what's it like coming in here now? And they've told us you're one of the first guys in every day and seeing this facility.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of spoiled me because, you know, we were at the other facility down at Phillips, and it was really a dungeon. There's no light in there. It's just one court. You know, now we have two, a brand new pool facility, recovery room, weight room. It's crazy to think about now that, you know, I just come into this great facility. I'm blessed to just, you know, have it, and something that I look forward to coming to every day. You know, it's just fun being here. You know, right. We got meals and everything. Everybody has a great time. New lockers. It's pretty cool right now.
All right, John, I got a couple of lifestyle questions for you. First of all, why do you have two phones?
I need two phones, man. There's, you know, a lot of contacts that come through, people that you need, and you got to sort out the business and the regular stuff.
Okay.
You know, you're saying one phone is for, you know, mom, coaches, you know, all the real important stuff that I need to get to. Another phone is for, you know, stuff that I might get to, might not
Tinder,
get to. But
stuff like that?
No. The Tinder got shut down after I left college.
shut down.
See, Rick's never heard the song Two Phones. He doesn't understand. You
got
to have two phones.
I got two
phones. Yeah.
No, I don't have a plug. I'm not a plug, though.
No, that gets you in a lot of trouble.
No,
you don't need to do that.
No.
So, and then, John, you also told us a story about you're going to treat yourself at Christmas.
Yeah.
Tell us that story on the air here.
Treat myself, treat my family. You know, I've been kind of just working my entire life to get to this point here. You know, one thing a lot of guys have told me is obviously, you know, taking your time and learning, but just to enjoy yourself, enjoy it every moment you have. And, you know, I'm trying to find something I like, something to reward myself for Christmas.
A whip, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what I want right now. Right now I have a little deal with BMW, a car for a year, so this car will be something that's, you know, my choice, my pick. And,
yeah.
Something's going to be near and dear to me. It's going to be my first true actual car.
Oh, nice.
That I bought with my own money. So definitely something that's going to be really cool.
Well, nice. I just saw your diamond earrings got dropped off for us. So Rick will wear one, I'll wear the other.
Yeah, man,
and then I could pay the mortgage with those.
No, man. Come on, go ahead. No. Hey, don't play yourself. Those are cubics right there, baby.
Yeah, there's nothing cubic about that.
Cubic zirconiums right there, man. Fake.
Kevin Garnett would be proud of these right here.
Fake, baby.
Got to go with that. Is it the BMW i8? I saw somebody driving one of those. That's way out of my price range.
Nah, that's out of my price range, too, man. That's I'm on the rookie salary, baby.
It's in Rick's price range.
Oh, yeah. That's big money. That's big money right there.
We had a stunt with him. We found, like, one of those what celebrity net worth is. Mm-hmm. Found out how much Rick is worth, and I said, dude, you should be paying us to work
with
you.
It's on that Forbes Top 100,
absolutely.
Man. Big money.
It's Shaq, and it's Kobe.
The stock market's been hitting me lately, though.
It's him, Floyd, and Tiger.
Right, exactly.
Him, Floyd, Tiger, LeBron. He's up there, baby.
Speaking of LeBron, should be fun, him coming to town.
I mean, it's always going to be fun. You know, the city's going to show out, going to come try to see the King play. Hopefully we're going to try to get another win. We got one in Cleveland, but, you know, they're going to come out with a vendetta. Hopefully get another W.
John, yeah, always great to talk to you.
You the man, John.
Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate
you,
it. Man. John Collins with us here on Sports Radio 92.9. The game, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk some NFL when we get back from the break here on Sports Radio 92.9. The game.
This is John Feinstein with a CBS Sports
Bomb. I mean, that's Dan Quinn with some dope philosophy. We're the home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9. The game, a little Rage Against the Machine, bringing us back. M.O., thank you for that. Even John Michaels is getting a little head bobbing going on, a little white man wiggle going on here from Emory Sports
Medicine
Center.
I haven't done the overbite yet, though.
Not the white man overbite, circa where or when Harry met Sally. By the way, if you're looking for a classic chick flick that doesn't suck to watch with your girl, that would be a movie to check out, When Harry Met Sally. Actually, a pretty good movie. Pretty heady dialogue in that movie. John, mm-hmm. It is our Week 12 recap.
Yeah.
We do best win, worst loss, most choke, most clutch, all that jazz. We do it Tuesday at 1:20 every week.
And we're going to add best dance celebration because some of these in the NFL have become fantastic.
Correct.
There's a lot of creativity. Falcons had one this week where they played red light, green light. So was it, I think Julio was like, go, stop, and the guys were freezing and running. That was pretty cool. I didn't catch what it was on the field because they were running away from me. But then when they showed it up on the Halo board, I said, oh, they're playing red light. If they were to do Simon Says or freeze tag, and maybe if the Falcons are listening, anyone, play freeze tag. Like run around and stop a guy where he has to like stand still. That'll be pretty funny as well.
All right, John, best win in the NFL in Week 12?
The L.A. Rams. You had a Saints team coming to town. Wes asked me during the Falcons broadcast, you know, hey, do you feel this will be something we'll find out about the Saints? And I said, no, I think we find out more about the Rams in that game. The Rams had lost a couple of times to teams with good defenses. Minnesota physically beat them up. The Seahawks earlier in the year physically beat them up. And I said, I want to see, can the Rams handle with a good defense coming to town? And I get it. A couple of corners out for New Orleans, but their front seven was intact. Jared Goff looked really good. Todd Gurley ran it really effectively. That was an impressive win for me for the Rams, and it was a game that leads you to believe that you go out there in January and they may host a playoff game, it is not going to be an easy win by any stretch of the imagination.
Definitely not, but there's not a great home field advantage there. The weather should be good, so that would be a place that our Falcons could go, and I'd feel good about us coming out. No guarantees, but I'd feel better about going to L.A. than to Philadelphia to play the Eagles.
Yeah.
Best win, worst loss, all that jazz here on the Midday Show with Rick and John. Best win for me, I wrote down the Rams, the Chargers, but I'm taking the Raiders, John, because they're back in this thing. And the Raiders were one of my preseason picks to go, you know, have a terrific year, and it just hasn't happened yet. But that win, John, got them to 5-6. Mm-hmm. That win buried Denver. Denver is now dead. They're in tank mode and prepping for the draft mode and trying to find a quarterback. And the other most important thing, an impressive thing, John, Michael Crabtree and Aqib Talib get in the fight. They get ejected from the game. Shortly thereafter, I believe was the sequencing of the game, Amari Cooper scores a TD and then later comes over the middle and gets the lights turned out on him. He gets concussed, has to leave the game. They had to play, if memory serves, roughly three quarters of that game without Crabtree and Cooper, and they still were able to get the victory. So that's super shorthanded. You've got adversity. You're at home in bad weather against a rival, and you win to save your season. And now they're only one game behind KC. Raiders, best win of the week.
Yeah, it's nice for them. That division is sort of coming together as a bunch of mediocre teams, and one of them's going to get a playoff berth there in the AFC. Worst loss, Rick, in the in NFL this week.
Worst loss is the – I'm going to go Jacksonville Jaguars because they've been so good on the road. They go to Arizona. And, John, it was a comedy of errors. You had Doug Marrone with bad clock management. You had Blake Bortles with a terrible interception. They're on the plus side of the 50, needing a field goal to win the game. And on second down, they pass the ball. Mm-hmm. And it's like some little sprint rollout joint, you know, a little five-yard pass. And Tyrann Mathieu said, guess what? I've been scouting you cats all week. He pinches up, gets the interception, and Arizona goes on to win. So, to me, the worst loss was Jacksonville.
For me, it's the Kansas City Chiefs. Where is the 5-0 team that we saw to start the year that blew out New England? And people started going, all right, Alex Smith, maybe he's going to come out of nowhere and win an MVP, and this defense is rock solid, and Tyreek Hill's a star, and Kareem Hunt's a star. Now they look pretty mediocre. You go and play Buffalo at home, and in the second half, the crowd there in Kansas City is booing Alex Smith, wanting and calling for Pat Mahomes to be the new quarterback there. The railing, they've kind of fallen off the rails right now for Kansas City. That's an unacceptable loss, especially to a Buffalo team that's coming off the embarrassment of starting Nate Peterman the week previous and all the turmoil that's been going on there. Yet here you go, Kansas City falls again, and they now sit just a game up on not only your Raiders, but the L.A. Chargers as well.
I'm watching that game, and you know the clock hits zeros, and the Chiefs are walking off the field to a chorus of boos from the crowded Arrowhead Stadium where they adore their Chiefs.
Yep.
That is, you know, the Royals are big there, but the Chiefs are that team in town, and they were getting booed coming off the field. Terrible, terrible loss. Most clutch.
Most clutch, Antonio Brown. The catches he makes down the stretch, touchdowns, getting them in field goal position. Green Bay should have put a convoy on Antonio Brown, and I'm not sure it would have stopped him anyway, but that guy just him and Julio are 1A and 1B in this league. Antonio Brown, though, consistently, Ben Roethlisberger puts him up to bat every single time they need a play, and he did it again this week. I'm calling Antonio Brown the most clutch.
I wrote down Julio and AB because Julio goes large and then AB matches him. Keenum had a QBR of 95.6, which is Rivers completes 27 of 33 at Dallas on Turkey Day.
Now, who had better, Rivers or yours? Your quarterback rating at Gresham Park?
Rivers.
Really?
Yeah, I got to give it to Rivers.
Okay.
It was pretty close, but the Titans' defense with 8 sacks, they don't win that game without those sacks, but I'm going with a kicker. Phil Dawson.
Oh, yeah.
57-yard kick. It was the career long for this guy. Phil Dawson.
He's like 73.
He's even older than Matt Bryant, but this guy, dude, I'm like watching that game, and it's going to go to overtime, right? And Arians puts him in position for a 57-yarder. I'm like, I get it. You got to try to win the game. There was no way he makes this kick. I think his career long was 54 or 55 or something. Dude drilled it for the win against Jax. Most clutch to me, Phil Dawson.
And not just that,
yards.
He has the wherewithal to realize there's 1 second on the clock and we don't want to get a 15-yard penalty. He's literally telling his team, stay on the side. Don't come running out here and get a penalty. I thought he was going to miss it. I was wondering why the heck Jacksonville didn't have somebody back deep to try to return it a la Auburn in the kick six in 2013, but they didn't and it didn't matter. All right, who's the biggest choker this weekend?
The Chargers punter. Do you remember the game on Thanksgiving Day?
That was so many drinks ago.
So Novak, their kicker, on the first kick of the game gets hurt, and they got to bring the punter in to kick PATs. Mm-hmm. He made the first one and missed every other PAT. You are paid to kick. You can't make a frickin' PAT.
Should have just did like Come Philly
on,
and
man.
Went for two every
and,
time.
And the other thing is, I don't know if you saw this, John, but the punter was working on kicking on the sideline and missed the kicking net. He kicked it outside the kicking net. Biggest choke artist is the damn punter for the Chargers.
Arthur Trish will love this because he's down on the sideline for the Falcons game. Is it just me or am I wrong that there's so many hundreds of media members on the sidelines of an NFL game and they'll always walk in front of Matt Bryan or Matt Bosher? And I've told Bosch before, I'm like, dude, if somebody walks in front of you, just plant it off their head. They'll learn. I'm waiting for somebody to kind of just
doink, and hit one of these, you know, you're blogging from your mom's basement and you got a credential and you're down there and you don't have the situational awareness to realize that Matt Bryant's warming up or Matt Bosher's practicing in the net. Just go ahead and clunk one off somebody's head.
All right, dude, most choke.
Drew Brees. Drew Brees had Ted Ginn wide open on a streak route, and he underthrew it by 10 yards. If he puts it out there, it's a different game, and New Orleans might actually win. Drew Brees, you mentioned it, looked old, just did not throw the ball well at all in L.A.
I got another choke from that game. The tight end, the who man.
What was it, the chop block?
No, he had a pick play.
That's what it was, pick play on a touchdown.
Took away the touchdown to Mark Ingram. And, by the way, that's why Knox Bardeen beat me. Not that I'm salty about that. Knox Bardeen gives us a pump fist. All right, continuing our Week 12 recap here on the Midday Show with Rick and John. Best coaching.
I'm going Homer, Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn has got this team peaking, and they're heading towards the playoffs, and I love everything about it.
Best coaching for me, Anthony Lynn of the Chargers. They were 0-4.
Yeah.
0-4, ladies and gentlemen. They're now 5-6. Mm-hmm. They're beating good teams. They're balanced. They run the ball. They pass the ball. They play defense. Best coaching to me, Anthony Lynn.
I love it. All right. Who was the worst coach this week?
I've got written down Doug Marrone, Cutter and Smitty, and Andy Reid. And I'm going Andy Reid.
Yeah, I'm going Doug Marrone.
Give me a break.
You run the ball, go to overtime. You cost yourself a win, and you're not all alone in first place. Who had the best dancing this weekend?
Just super quick, Andy Reid, for all the losses they've had, the most overrated coach in football.
He normally is.
TD celebration, Case Keenum and the Vikings with the Thanksgiving dinner thing where they pass like the trays around, and Stephon Diggs was in the middle as the turkey. I thought that was great.
Nobody better than the Philadelphia Eagles doing the electric slide. That was awesome.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.